Thank you guys for being patient with us. We're under construction here at the building, but man, it's good to get together in a more intimate setting. And it's the first Sunday of a new year. Who is happy that 2020 is behind us? All right. Man, it was a messed up year, wasn't it? With the pandemic, with the social unrest, the toxic political climate, just all kinds of craziness going on that by themselves would have been odd. But you put all of them together and wow, this is the world we live in, right? So who's ready for a new beginning? All right, who's ready for hitting the reset button on some things? Yeah? Okay. Listen, I think there's a reason that God instituted seasons in creation. You guys ever thought, God, he's like this great teacher, man. He created the whole world, and if you just look at creation, if you look at the rhythm of life and the rhythm of the world we live in, the rhythms in the universe, I think there's some wisdom there in how God made things even function. It's like when wintertime hits, you get tired of it, and eventually springtime's going to come, right? It's like, okay, things are going to be different. I think with the changing of the new year, man, I think there's some wisdom to be found in just taking some time to reflect on life, to reflect on where we've been, to look at maybe what we messed up on, maybe look at where we had some victories, but to really just take a self-assessment and say, if I want to move forward in life in a healthy way, what do I need to do? What do I need to learn? What do I need to get help with? And so that's kind of what this lesson's going to be on today, okay? And we're going to look at Joshua chapter 1, and this is going to be a lesson that we put in here right before we start what is going to be a series based around our new theme that you guys will hear about later today at the banquet. I do want to mention before we jump into this, we are having a banquet here. If you haven't heard about this before, we're going to be back here today at 5 o'clock, and it's not really going to be a banquet. Usually at the beginning of the year, we have a fancy banquet where we all dress up and like we rent a hall and we cater in food and do all this stuff. And it's just a way for us to talk about the plans for the church for that coming year. This year, we're going to have our 2021 potluck. So how many of you guys been to a good church potluck? Right? All right. So it's going to be fun. I'm cooking up a bunch of meat. It is smoking on my smoker right now, so there's going to be plenty of food to eat. So if you guys would, please come back here at 5 if you'd like to. We'd love to have you. I know all our church members are going to be here, but that's open to whoever would like to come. We're going to have some fun. There's going to be some entertainment. I understand, Maggie, is that right? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be funny? Okay, we're going to hold you to that. You guys heard her say it, all right? So we're going to have a good time tonight. We'd love for you to come back. But let me pray for us, and there's some notes in your bulletin if you want to pull those out. It's going to have most of the scriptures we're going to look at. We're just going to have an abbreviated lesson today, okay, because of the space and everything, and we didn't know how the kids were going to act behind us. So you know how those kids are, right? You know how those kids are. Yeah, that's right. All right, let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for bringing us together today. Thank you for the blessing of a facility, Lord. We just started this church 3 years ago and already have this nice facility we get to use. It's going to be great to see the lives that are changed as a result of your presence through us here. And so, God, I just pray as we open the scriptures that we will remember to have our hearts in the right place, that you gave us the scriptures to learn from them, not simply to get information, Lord, but to apply your truth to our lives, to make changes, to be obedient, to honor you. And God, we know you're good and want us to have the best life possible. God, I pray you convict us. The best life possible is wrapped up in relationship and submission to you. So I pray as we open your word, God, we'll keep that in mind. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. One of the cool things about the Bible, man, the Bible's just an amazing book. Okay, if you don't know much about the Bible, I was a skeptic for some time. You guys that know me have heard that. Heard me repeat that. I really didn't think the Bible was something that could be trusted. Man, it's amazing though. When you compare it to other literature in the world, the Bible is in a class of its own. It was written by over 40 different authors over the course of about 2,500 years. in three different languages on three different continents. And these guys that wrote it spanned the social strata. I mean, you had a king that wrote a book. You had a homeless guy that wrote a book, and they're in there together. You had a warrior that wrote a book, and then you had like a shepherd that wrote a book, and they're in there together. And it's crazy because the Bible addresses thousands of different topics, but there's a cohesiveness to the whole thing where it tells a unified story. And it's just amazing. And there's evidence, guys, I used to think, well, if it tells a unified story, that must mean people went back and rewrote it and made it tell a unified story, right? That makes sense. Well, no, when you go back and actually look at the manuscript evidence that we have, it's overwhelmingly obvious that that's not what happened, okay? The lesson this morning's not on all that stuff, but it's amazing. It's an amazing text. When you start out the story of the Bible, it begins with creation. It begins with Adam and Eve, and then it moves from there to the story of Noah and the global flood, from there to Abraham. And the thing with Abraham, when you start talking about the story of what happened with him, that becomes one of the major, major events that kind of drives the story of the rest of the Bible. Because when Abraham comes along, God comes to him and says, Abraham, you don't have any kids, you're an old man, but guess what? I'm going to give you and your old wife children. And they're going to have children, and they're going to have children, and your descendants are going to become more numerous than the sand on the seashore. And I'm going to make your people into a great nation, and I'm going to be their God, and they're going to be my people. And then they're going to go and have this promised land, this land flowing with milk and honey, this land where it's going to be unlike any other land on earth. It's just going to be great for your people. I'm going to give that to you and to your people. And so, and he also says, whoever blesses you will be blessed, whoever curses you will be cursed, and the whole world is going to be blessed as a result of your seed. That's the promise of Abraham. You move forward in the story of the Bible, and the rest of the Bible after that is the unfolding of God's promise way back then to Abraham. So you go from him to Isaac, Jacob, Isaac, and Joseph. Eventually, you get to the story of Moses and the Exodus. God leads Israel out of Egyptian slavery using Moses, and he takes them up to the cusp of the promised land. Joshua, the guy we're going to look at today, was the guy that led Israel right after Moses. And so you have all this history now up to that point. You have God's fulfillment of his promises up to that point. And where we are in the story of Scripture and in the story of God's people is the people have been led out of enslavement. They've been led up to the promised land. God is telling them, I want you to go into this land. I want you to take hold of it. You're going to run the people out of there that are there, and I'm going to give this land to you. And that's where we're at in the story. And so Joshua is right up on the edge of leading all these people to take hold of this promise that God has given to him and has given to the people. All it's going to require of them is their faithfulness and their obedience to take hold of this promise. And so what we're going to do this morning, quickly, talking about moving into a new year, talking about moving into a new season, we're going to take some of the truth from Joshua's story and the story of the Israelites, some of the principles that we learn about God, and we're just going to apply them to ourselves, okay? So go ahead and pull those notes out. And there are four musts for looking back in a way that moves me forward. For Joshua and the people, they're right up on the cusp of taking this promised land, and what God is going to call them to do is reflect and think about the future, okay? And so if I want to move forward in a healthy way, if you're talking, hey, I want 2021 to be my year, okay? Maybe I've been struggling in my relationship with God, maybe I've had some addiction or some compulsion or some issue that I need help with that I feel like is harming my relationship with God. Or maybe you're at a point today where maybe you don't have a relationship with God. Maybe you're investigating that, which if that's you, man, welcome. We're glad you're here. We've all been there, okay? But if I want to move forward in a healthy way, I must take the opportunity for, number one, reflection. Number one, reflection. I must look at and learn from my past. And this is exactly what God calls Joshua to do. Now, this is God speaking to Joshua, and he says, Moses served the Eternal One faithfully until the end of his days. After his death, the Eternal singled out Joshua, the son of Nun, who had walked at the right hand of Moses during the wilderness wanderings. And he says, my servant Moses is now dead. You and the Israelites must prepare to cross over to the Jordan to enter the land I have given you. So here, they're invited to reflect back, okay? And as we start a new year and a new season, God invites us to reflect back on our past. Is there some area where you've really been majorly struggling? Is there something in your life where you feel like it's getting in the way of that healthy relationship with the Lord? Or are there areas where you've really been victorious? You know, is there something where things have really come together? Okay, we'll keep doing that. But look at this, reflect and repeat. What did I do correctly? Ask yourself, what did I do correctly? And so if there are areas in your life where you've had great victory, make a note of that. And where you are struggling, reflect and repent. What did I do poorly? What did I do poorly? And this is the way of wisdom, guys. If you want to grow wise, there's an expectation from God for us to reflect on our life. Reflection is a very healthy thing. Why do you look in a mirror? You know, we call that your reflection in your mirror. Why do you look in a mirror? You look in a mirror to see if you look okay. And if you don't look okay, what do? We make some changes, right? Nobody goes to a job interview with a big booger hanging out of their nose if they look in the mirror. You don't look in the mirror and say, I'm just going to leave that booger there. No, you take care of that, right? That's the point of looking in a mirror. If you look in a mirror and don't make any changes, do you miss the point of looking in the mirror? Okay. Why do we get together on Sundays and open God's word? Because it's like looking in a mirror for our spiritual lives. The Bible is like a mirror. It says that in the book of James, James chapter 2. Anyone who looks at himself in a mirror and goes away and forgets what he looks like is crazy, right? You look in the mirror of God's word and you make changes. As we enter into 2021, in light of God's truth, what are some changes, okay? And don't get discouraged, because sometimes when we reflect, it can be unhealthy if we don't have the right attitude about it. Don't get discouraged. You know, and sometimes people can feel like if you've messed up really bad, like God is distant from you. Guys, just a couple of weeks ago, we talked through Jesus on the cross. We talked about how his mother was there bitterly weeping while his enemies were there mocking and making fun. And guys, what did he pray for his enemies? He prayed for their forgiveness. And that's what God is like. God is a God who you can do something that bad, and he's still not going to reject you. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't want you to change, but he's approachable. You know what I'm saying? And we need that reassurance. And that's number two. If I want to move forward in a healthy way, number two, I must embrace God's reassurance. This means that I have confidence about the future. In Joshua 1, it says, I will give you every place you walk, wherever your feet touch, just as I promised Moses. And this is God speaking to Joshua. From the southern deserts to the northern mountains in Lebanon, from the great Euphrates River in the east, including all of the land of the Hittites, to the great Mediterranean Sea in the west, all of it is yours. No one will be able to oppose you for as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses, and I will never fail or abandon you. So be strong and courageous, for you will lead this people as they acquire and then divide the land I promised to their ancestors. Man, what a great promise from the Lord. He tells Joshua, you're leading an army. Everywhere you go, I'm going to give you victory. You don't have anything to worry about. I'm not leaving you. I'm faithful. You can trust me. I'm batting 1,000 when it comes to giving promises and fulfilling them. Man, what a great assurance that is from the Lord. Now, let me ask you, do you struggle with envisioning your future. How many of you guys have ever struggled with that? I'm raising my hand high. I remember a time in my life which I struggled with addiction for a long time. Even though I grew up in the church, I was sexually abused when I was a little kid. And that has a way of making you feel inherently bad. And you keep people at a distance. You don't want anybody close to you. It does all kinds of things psychologically and spiritually to you when trauma of that kind happens. And when I got to be a teenager, I got into drugs, and my parents didn't know what was going on with me. They had tried to raise me right, you know, but man, I just completely rejected God. I didn't know if there was a God, if he was there. I didn't know if I liked him very much, because what kind of God lets that kind of thing happen to a little kid, you know? And I didn't tell anybody any of this stuff. I was too ashamed of it, but that was part of what was going on in my heart. And man, I remember after struggling with addiction and nearly losing my life several times because of the drug use and all that stuff, I remember just sitting in my parents' dining room table one time, and I just started crying. And I was so sad. I was like 20, 21, 22, so sad. Didn't feel like I had any future. You know, I couldn't imagine having to get up and like go get a job and work and pay bills. Like, that just sounded horrible to me. I didn't want to live. And I remember just sitting there, and my dad was like, "What's wrong?" Because I just like started crying out of nowhere. He's like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "I don't feel like I have anything to look forward to in life." And that's just where I was. How many of you guys have been there before? Has anybody been there where you just feel like you don't have anything to look forward to? Okay. Now, some of us were there whenever God put some people in our lives that brought us this message of hope, right? That doesn't mean we're always ready to hear it or even believe it, but these people come along and start sharing with us these things that God says, and there are two things that you really need to have a healthy relationship and a healthy way of moving forward in life when you don't feel like you have a future, right? First of all, you need words of reassurance from God. You need those. And you just got to ask, what does God say about me? Whenever we have somebody that comes here, if somebody wants to place membership at the church and join the Crossings, or if somebody's investigating faith, man, we'll sit down. A couple of us will sit down. And it's not always me. It's a lot of us do this. We'll just sit down and open up the scriptures and say, hey, let's just look at some things and talk about it. One of the things we always look at is Jeremiah 29. And man, this isn't on your notes, but if you just want to make a note of Jeremiah 29:11, for I know, this is God talking, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future. No, I'm not going to harm you. I've got this future for you. And we just look at that and talk through that. Man, you know how many people struggle with believing that, though, because they believe the stuff they've done is too bad? Or the stuff they're into, the struggles are too great, or God's grace is for everyone else, it's not really for me. I'm special. You know, that's a common thing that people believe. I believed that. And so I get it. But the truth is, that's just one passage. God says so many things about you. He gives so many promises to you. Did you guys know that God genuinely, deeply cares for each and every one of you? I don't care what you're struggling with. And man, he will meet you wherever you are. I don't care if you're here today and you are horribly far away from God. God will meet you there. But he's not going to leave you there. He's going to start helping you. He's going to take you by the hand, and he's going to help you learn to move forward and maybe to get past some of this stuff. And it ain't going to be easy. If anybody comes and says being a Christian is easy, no, it's not. You've been your God your whole life, and then suddenly you're going to turn and let God be God. There's some adjustment, okay? But you want to know what else you need? In addition to that relationship with God, you need other people in your life. You need intimacy. You need friends. And that's the second thing, is I need words of reassurance from God's people. If you want to move forward, you do need God, but you also need closeness with God's people. The church and the people that make it, which church, guys, just means a gathering of God's people. It doesn't mean a building. It doesn't mean a cathedral.
The church is the gathering together of the community of God's people. And God invented that. Just like he invented the seasons, it was his idea for his people to be together in community, helping one another. And if you don't have that relationship, and I don't just mean getting together on Sundays. I mean, in the Bible, guys, being part of the church, it wasn't thought of as a weekly meeting. It was thought of as relationships. And that's what the church is. And you can come on Sundays and not be in a relationship. Like, you can come and hold people at a distance. It's easy to do. It's easy to do. But that's not what the church is designed for. The church is designed to be like a family. Right? It's designed to be like that. And you need that in your life. And part of how God designed the church to function is he commands us to reassure one another, to encourage one another, all throughout the Bible. And I'm just going to give you three passages. This isn't on your notes, but make a note of it. 1 Thessalonians 5:1, encourage one another and build each other up. This is God's word, commands to the church. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. 1 Corinthians 14:26, when you come together, when the church gets together, everybody, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation, let all things be done for building up. You guys notice that? Encouragement, building up, stirring up to love and good works. That's done together. That's done in the context of relationship. And guys, coming here and listening to a sermon is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But if your whole church experience is just taking in a lesson, that's an incomplete church experience. It's part of it, but it's an incomplete church experience, okay? We're going to talk about how to get involved with the crossings toward the end of the lesson, but I just want you to keep that in the back of your mind, okay? Thirdly, if I want to move forward in a healthy way, thirdly, I must embrace recommitment. And this just means I must actively respond to God's call. Or possibly, maybe this is just commitment. Maybe if you haven't made a commitment to follow the Lord before and you're just checking things out, just commitment. That's okay. Again, we've all been there. But God encourages Joshua to continue to be faithful to him as he moves forward. I think there's a typo in your notes here. I screwed this up. So I'm going to start reading in verse 7 with the underlined portion there. So you can just skip that first part. It's a typo. Verse 7 says, always be strong and courageous. This is, again, God's word to Joshua. Always be strong and courageous and always live by all of the law I gave to my servant Moses, never turning from it, even ever so slightly, so that you may succeed wherever you go. Do you guys notice that connection? He says, follow the law that I gave to Moses, which for them in the Old Testament, God was involved in creating a government. And so they actually had civil laws that God gave to Moses to pass down to the people. It was all about loving God and loving your neighbor. I mean, when Jesus says the greatest command in all the scripture, number one is to love God and number two is to love your neighbor, that summarizes all of those 600 laws. That's what they were all about. It was about keeping away from idolatry and, you know, and just taking care of one another. God tells Joshua, you follow those laws and you teach the people to follow those laws so that you may succeed wherever you go. Let the words from the book of law be always on your lips. Meditate on them day and night so that you may be careful to live by all that is written in it. If you do, as you make your way through this world, you will prosper and always find success. Who in here wants to always find success? Do you want some success? Who would rather just have failure? Would anybody in here just want to embrace failure? Okay? Because there's a formula here. What God is saying is if you will follow my word, if you will faithfully follow my word, I promise you I will grant you success in life. If you disregard my word, I will grant you failure in life. Until you get to the point where you start looking around and saying, maybe I should make some changes. You know what they say when you hit rock bottom, right? The only way to look is up. Okay? I know many of us have been in that pig pen. There's some truth to it. But there's a formula here, and we don't have to follow the Mosaic law like Joshua did. We're in a different time. That law has been fulfilled, but we still have God's word. We still have the teachings of Jesus Christ. We still have the revelation of the King that we get to follow. There's still an expectation of faithfulness for us to follow the King, right? There's an expectation, and this principle is true. When we're faithful to God, He brings us success. And there are two areas to pay special attention to when it comes to personal obedience. Number one, I recommit to having, number one, the right attitudes. I recommit to having, number one, the right attitudes. Attitude is big. It's something that's overlooked a lot, but your attitude matters. And here's why it's so important. Man, there was a time when Jesus was walking the earth and he was around a bunch of religious people. He was around people that went to church for them, synagogue, every Saturday. We do church on Sunday. But if he were walking today, it would have been like they would have been ones he would have seen at church. But there's something that Jesus taught in throughout his ministry. It's that your heart matters. It's that what is going on inside your heart matters. And the thing he told those people, and a lot of them were religious leaders, was you guys honor God with your lips. He quoted Isaiah and applied it to them, quoted the Old Testament. You honor me with your lips, but in your hearts you are far from me. In other words, you come to church every Sunday, but you're not really a worshiper of the Lord. You read the Bible, but you skip over the stuff and miss the application. You know, it's like you can modify your behavior. I was talking to somebody about this last week. You can modify your behavior. You can adjust your behavior and not adjust your heart. And there's something, man, one of the things Jesus is so concerned about is heart. He's not just concerned about your behavior modification. He's concerned about your heart. You can sit in church on Sunday and check out and go to sleep and not sing and be sullen, but you're at church. Okay, where's your heart at? Where's your attitude? You know, you can be married. You can have a wife. You don't cheat on her, but you treat her like crap. Okay? Where's your heart? Where's your heart at? Well, I'm not cheating on her. Okay? You're being a jerk all the time because you got a bad attitude. Okay? God looks at that, you know, and we look at those things and we're like, well, it's not that big a deal. God looks at that and says, no, that's the biggest deal because your heart is far from me. I don't care about your actions if it's not accompanied by the right kind of heart. Your attitude is hugely important. Guys, there are going to be people who go to church every Sunday, but because of their bad attitudes, they've never been close to God. They've never gotten near to Him. And they're going to, if they don't repent of that garbage, if they don't take seriously what Jesus says about getting your heart right, man, you're going to stand before the Lord someday and wish you weren't. Because you're not going to have a salvation. Like I'm telling you, it's that big of a deal in the Scriptures. You can get baptized. You can come to church and you can be just as lost as you ever were because you never changed your heart. You need to get your heart right. It's so important. And I don't think we talk about it enough. Like, it's so important. You have got to get your heart right. And you need help with that. You need people that maybe are a little bit further down the road than you are, maybe with some gray hairs. And I'm not just talking about me, okay? I just recently got gray hairs. There are other people that have a lot more mileage on those gray hairs than I do. But people who have some wisdom that have been walking with the Lord for a long time, who can look at you, especially you young men and women, they can look at your life, and guess what? We can see things that you can't see. And we can say to you, hey, there's a warning sign here for you. You need to take the off ramp on this thing. Because you need those kind of people in your life. Don't just run with the young, stupid ones all the time. I love you guys. You're not stupid on purpose, I know. You're just stupid because you're young. I've been there, okay? By the way, it says that in the book of Proverbs. So that's the Bible. Hey, guess what? God said it, not me. Get mad at him. So I got to recommit to having right attitudes. Number two, I recommit to having right actions. So what does God want me to think? How does God want me to feel? But then number two, what does God want me to do? And so there is a component where actions do matter. Guys, don't get the cart before the horse, though. It starts at the heart, okay? But the change in your heart has got to lead to a change in action. What is God calling me to do? Is there something God is calling me to do? What am I putting off that God is calling me to do? This is another one. How many of you guys like to procrastinate? Anybody in here like to procrastinate? Me too. Do you ever do that with spiritual stuff? I'm glad you guys are honest. Yeah, it's easy to do, right? Man, it's not smart. And I'm guilty of it too. Like, I'm not up here like I've got this all down. I'm not a good example of this sometimes. There are things that I know in my life sometimes aren't the best, or they just don't honor God. And I intellectually will know that, but put it off until later. I'm doing pretty good over here. Like, yeah, that's okay. Mess with that later. We shouldn't do that. We should not do that. There are people here. Well, we won't get into that. When we really start working on changing our attitudes and actions to honor God, we quickly realize that this isn't easy and we need help, though, right? You guys realize that. We all agree on that. So number four, if I want to move forward, number four, I must embrace reconnection. I must embrace reconnection. I must connect with my leader and my group. And as God led Joshua and these 12 tribes into the promised land, there was an expectation that they would move forward together. And I don't want you to miss the significance of that. They would move forward together. Okay? How are they going to move forward? Did everybody get that? Or was that just June? Okay? How are they going to move forward? Okay? Do you want to move forward in 2021? How are you going to move forward spiritually in 2021? Are you going to do it by yourself?
No.
It's going to happen together, right? Now, this was true way back then for them. This is true for us today. It's not a solo act. There is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian or a Lone Ranger disciple of Jesus. You show me one person in the New Testament who became a disciple of Jesus and said, I don't really need those relationships with people in the church, and I will buy you a milkshake. What? You want to challenge me, son? Huh? There's not any. Okay? It was a together thing. Look at this in Joshua 1, 10 through 18. When Joshua had heard God's commands, look at this. He gathered the leaders. So he gets the leaders together. He's going to have a powwow with them. He gathered the leaders of the people of Israel. He gave them their instructions. He said, go through the camp and tell your people, gather whatever you need. In 3 days, you will pass over into the land your God has given you. Soon, it will be ours. Then Joshua spoke to the leaders of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Remember what Moses told you. Your God is making a place for you to settle and will give you this land as your own. Your wives, your children, your livestock will stay on this side of the Jordan in this land. But all of you who can fight must lead your brothers in battle formation over the Jordan and help them. Look at this. Fight with them until they too occupy the land your God, the Eternal One, is setting aside for them. Fight alongside them. Go with them into the fight. Then you may cross the Jordan again and return to this land that Moses, his servant, has given you east of the Jordan and live there. We will do all you have commanded, and we will go wherever you send us. We will follow your orders just as we obeyed Moses and all he told us. May the Eternal One, your God, be with you as he was with Moses. Excuse me. Anyone who rebels against or disobeys your word, all you command will be put to death. Always be strong and courageous. There's a happy little phrase there at the end, put to death. Okay? This was not optional. God said, you're going to go into battle, and you're going to do it together, and I'm not taking no for an answer. That's how important this is. If you want to say no to going into battle together, you're done. You're dead. We're going to wipe you out, right? You're done. Nobody said that. They were all together. Okay? God commanded these leaders to get together, to remind the people of God's promises, and then to move out together. Do you want to know what God says to us? He commands our leaders to get together, to remind his people of our promises, and then to move out in battle together. You guys realize we're in a battle, right? You guys realize every day you get up, the Bible talks about this spiritual battle that goes on in Ephesians 6. The powers we face are not the powers of this world. They're the spiritual forces in the air. You got to put on that spiritual armor and get up ready to fight. But guess what? You were not designed to fight alone. You were not designed to go through life alone. You were not designed to go into the spiritual battle by yourself. God wants you to have him by your side, but he also wants you to have your battalion, and that's your church. And if you're missing out on the experience and the connection with the brothers and sisters in the church, with that spiritual family, it's like a soldier without an army. And you can just think of the church, God's people, as a spiritual army. Man, you come in here, let's say you just become a Christian. So you get baptized, you give your life to the Lord, and then some people that are a little further down the road than you, just like in the military, you know, you go to boot camp, you get trained by those drill instructors. They're nice guys, though. You know, they always say nice things. But they teach you how to be a good soldier. Any military people in here? Okay, not many. I signed up for the Marines, but they kicked me out. You go to boot camp, and those guys, you know, they teach you. And we're nicer than the Marine Corps drill instructors, but we'll teach you, okay? So you join the army of God's people, you get taught. You go to boot camp. You got people that are meeting with you and helping you work on things, helping you walk through things, helping you apply God's truth to your life. We call that getting discipled. Okay, you come into the church, you get discipled. You got a coach. You got a mentor. God's in charge. God's the leader. Jesus is the general, but he puts officers in the world, which are church leaders who are designed by God to equip you for works of service in the army of God. You guys getting that? And the church is also like a battlefield hospital. It's a place where if you've gotten hurt in life, man, you can come into the church and you can get healing from addictions. There are people here who have been horribly addicted to all kinds of stuff. If you're here struggling with drug addiction today, there are a bunch of people in this room who have been there and who God has given victory and help overcome that garbage. And guys, we can help you. If you have been abused growing up, if you got abused by your parents, okay? We have people here who have been abused by their parents or who grew up without parents or without a dad, who have this hole in their heart because their needs weren't met as kids growing up and they don't know how to get through this. We have people here who have experienced that same thing, who have found healing in Jesus Christ and in the church, who can help you with that. If you were sexually abused like I was, we've got people here in the church. You want to know where I got help for that stuff? And I'm still messed up from it. I will always be messed up from that abuse. There will always be scars. But you want to know what? I can find healing. And I have found healing. You want to know where I found it? In the church. We've got a ministry here called Wounded Heart. It's a support group. It's a counseling group for people that have experienced that very thing. It's led by people who God has given victory over that and who completely understand what it's like and what it does, who can help you with that. Man, we have a ministry here called Comforting Rachel for women who have had abortions. Sometimes whenever you're a woman and you come into the church, you hear the message that abortion is murder, abortion is bad. Guys, we have strong convictions about that just because of what the scriptures teach. We do believe that that's an innocent life. We do believe it's wrong to take that life. But do you want to know what else we believe? If you've done that, we believe there's forgiveness for you. And a lot of times, one of the things they struggle with the most is the guilt they feel from a poor decision they made when they were younger. And I have talked with, I've got close people that are close to me, 50, 60 years old, that feel like they can't get close to God because of this thing they did when they were 18. Guys, that's not true. And we've got women here who have experienced victory and found forgiveness who can help you. Guys, we've had a lot of people here who've gone through divorces. We have people in this church who have found healing and victory after a bad divorce who can help you. And I could go down the list, guys. If there's anything that you're struggling with today, guys, we have people that have struggled with homosexuality. We've had people that have struggled with gender issues. I don't care what it is. If there's something that you struggle with that you feel ashamed to talk to somebody about, I guarantee you there are people in this little church who have experienced some measure of what you have experienced who can give you hope because God has given them victory. The church is like a battlefield hospital because the point is not for us just to get together and talk about our hurts. The point is for us to get in here and get healing and get help and get out there back in the battle. And you want to know what God can use those hurts that you've gone through to do? He can take those hurts and those things that have weighed you down and he can give you healing and then fashion those into a weapon that you can go out and win other souls with. Because there are people hurting outside that door, guys. There are people who don't have hope. There are people that don't feel like they have a future. There are friends and family members that feel like they don't have anything to look forward to. You have this message of hope. You have this experience of healing. Man, you are the hands and feet of Jesus. Do you guys get that? You are the hands and feet of Jesus. You are the ones that God is sending out as ambassadors into the world. You are the ones that God intends to use to help them. But you want to know what you have to do before you can help somebody else? You have to get help yourself. You have to get help yourself. And you, in order to get that help, in order to mature, you need a relationship with God, you need a relationship with God's Spirit, and you need a relationship with God's people. That's what you need. And so I want you to ask today, we're going to wrap up. There's a cardstock piece of paper in your bulletin. I would like to invite everybody to pull that out. And this is your opportunity to respond. There's a spot there for you to put your name on it. There's a place there for you to request prayer. There are a lot of boxes you can check. But in terms of getting help, there are two things that I would like to call you to today. Two things that are very, very important that are vital for you. Guys, if you are not a Christian today, if you are just investigating faith, or if you feel like you're not right with God, check on there that you would like a personal Bible study. And that kind of sounds formal. But when we say personal Bible study, what we really are saying is you sit down and open up the Bible and have a conversation with a couple of friends. And, you know, it's really, let's just, hey, this is informal. Maybe we'll get a cup of coffee and sit down and just look at this and just kind of talk through some of God's truth as it applies to your specific situation in life. I love studying the Bible with people because, man, it's a way for me to get to know people. I really like hanging out, especially if somebody's just seeking God. I really, really just like getting to know them and watching God work in their life. One of the things that motivates me when I get up in the morning that makes me excited is seeing what God is doing in y'all's life. Because there are so many people here, just in the short time we've been here, we've had a lot of people give their life to Christ. We continue to have people that are investigating faith and studying the Bible. And one of the things that really makes me excited is just seeing what God is going to do with you guys and seeing what he is doing with you guys and seeing family members come and seeing friends come and seeing the campus ministry at SIUE really popping off, especially before COVID. It's kind of crazy now, but it's just exciting to see. It's fun. So I like doing that. But if you're investigating faith, or even if you just have some questions, maybe you're not sure about this whole God thing. Maybe you're not sure if the Bible is something that you really should listen to. I just want to encourage you to be a truth seeker. And if you will be a truth seeker, if you will investigate, that Bible study is something that I would highly recommend. Secondly, the second way you can get connected is our small group ministry. So the way we function here at the Crossings is we're basically a church of small groups. And so we've got, when I say small group, like we meet here in a big group on Sunday. Throughout the week and a couple of Sundays a month, our small groups will get together in groups of like 12 to 15. And those are usually broken down by age. So we've got the adults that get together. We've got the college students that get together. We've got the teens, junior high and high schoolers that get together. And it's in those settings in the living room. You know, we usually go over to somebody's house. We sometimes have a meal. But we usually just take like some time to catch up and get to know one another. A lot of us that have been in those groups for a while, man, that's like your family, isn't it? Like, you know those people really, really well. And I mean, we sometimes will spend holidays together. We go on trips together. We have fun together. You know, it's a group of friends. But it's a group of friends that's centered on a relationship with God and honoring God. It's different than my old friends that I used to run with. And there's a different result in my life as a result of running with my new friends that love Jesus. It's amazing how that works, right? But it's really important, and I think God wants us, God desires us to have those close relationships with other people that are trying to seek him. That's the church. Like, when we get together, and it's a group of friends eating a meal together, and we all love Jesus, and we're sharpening one another, and if I'm doing something really stupid that doesn't honor God, I know my brother or my sister is going to say, hey, that's not right. You need to change. That's church, okay? And if that is missing from your life, if those kinds of relationships are missing from your life, you are missing church. You may come on Sundays, but if you don't have those relationships where you've allowed people to get close to you like that, or people have allowed you to get close to them like that, if you don't have those relationships, you're missing church, okay? So if you've been missing church, please indicate on your card that you'd like to learn more about small groups, and we will get you plugged in. We would love to have you, okay? There's a lot of other things on there you can look at. I'm not going to go over all of it because you can read over those yourself, but I do just want to end on the fact that, guys, we're in a battle. We are in a battle. We were in a battle in 2020. We're going to be in a battle in 2021. But God's will is for us to love him. It's to love others. And it's for us to go into this battle together. That's God's will for us. So how can I do that? Ask yourself, how can I do that today? What do I need to apply today? Banquet at 5 p.m. We would love for you to come back. We're going to have a lot of good food and just having some fun. You're welcome to bring a friend. We're going to have more than enough. So we would love for you to come. We're just going to have the table set up in here. So it's going to be fun. We're just going to be hanging out, having some fun today at 5. So come on back. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to sing a song that's going to give you an opportunity during that song to fill that card out. So let's pray. God, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift of the Bible and the scriptures. Thank you for blessing us with the facility we can use here for meetings on Sundays. Father, I pray you bless the rest of our day and our banquet tonight. God, as we look over those cards, I pray you give us the prompting that we need to take the action that we need to take. God, if we've been putting anything off, if we have been disconnected, if we've been coming around for a while having the wrong attitude, or God, if there are actions that we need to take in our life that we know we've needed to take, but maybe we've just been putting it off. God, give us the prompting today. Give us the motivation and the energy. Help us to love you and to love others. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.